Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sherry, who is the steward of yet another of the fabulous brand new practice opportunities being rolled out this month. Welcome, Sherry.
Hi, Jen. Happy to be here.
Excellent. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah.
So, tell us about what you're up to. What new practice opportunity do you have for? They're just rolling out like crazy here.
I know. It's been such a wonderful time for upping our game in so many ways.
Yeah.
And we have yet another resource. I'm very happy to announce that today we launched the new recording and listening website.
So it's up.
It's up. It's up and running.
Okay, I'm going to refrain from going to it right now.
I know. I can't wait for everyone to see it, though. The whole team, everybody's been working so hard, and there's just so many people have contributed to it. It's just really fun.
Yeah. So a new recording and listening platform.
Yep.
So tell us about it.
Yeah, so we've sort of dubbed it like the one-stop shop, you know, for resources and inspiration. And it's for anyone who already has a recording and listening practice or for people who are brand new. And in the spirit of upping your game, we're calling it the Rookie Corner for people who are brand new and the All-Star Resources for people who have been around for a while and have a practice going.
Perfect. And, you know, it's funny as you say that, Rookie Corner. So often in practice, well, in everywhere, I think, people think, oh, beginner, that's not me. I'm not a beginner. But it's funny because the more we practice, the more we realize, oh, I want to go to the Rookie Corner, you know, because that is the place. Like when you said that, I just felt like this light up because I want to go there. I want to find out like the basics because it's so much fun to go back to the beginning where, you know, conditioning may have gotten in there and created like assumptions and its own little ideas about things. So I'm going to go to the Rookie Corner and find out what's over there.
I love that you said that because it's true, right? I mean, there's really no distinction. I mean, anyone can go to any place on the site and find something really supportive and helpful. Exactly. And the Rookie Corner, it's great because we do have some articles, one that's called, like, you know, what is recording and listening? And mm-hmm. It brings us right back to, you know, what it is that is so important about this practice for us.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what's so exciting about it is that, you know, someone like me who's been recording and listening for a number of years now, it's amazing to think back on that, you know, I know what recording and listening is, but, I mean, how fun do I, you know, just go back in there with beginner's mind.
Yes. And one of the places that, you know, we encourage everyone to start is actually there's a section called About. And in there, the guide has written a piece for us about why record and listen. And I was just rereading that again today and just feeling so re-inspired and reinvigorated by reading her words again. As like, what's at the heart of this? Why are we doing this?
Yes, exactly. Okay, so you're encouraging all of us to start at the About section.
That would be like so that especially with, again, it's called YRL. It's pretty easy to find under the About section. And, again, that's where the guide sort of starts us off.
Okay.
And there's actually another tab called Getting Started mm-hmm. that we thought would make it really easy for people. So we point them to that particular piece that I'm talking about, as well as a few other places that are, like, really just great places to begin.
So Is it linked with the Living Compassion site, or is it its own URL?
It's its own URL.
Okay.
And I could give it now, or I could give it at the end, so we don't.
How about
we
both?
Don't. Okay.
Oh yeah, I see what you're saying. No, you're right. Let's give it at the end. That's a great idea.
I was thinking, I'm going to give the website, and then no one will be there to listen.
Yeah, that's
would be
so
okay
perfect.
Too.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll give it at the end. Okay, so it's its own URL. And it has the Rookie Corner, it has the About, and then, I mean, how does it work? What are the other components to it?
So I'll still tell you. So when you go to the homepage, there's going to be, and there's already up right now, the first blog. So there's going to be a weekly blog, which is written by a Sangha member, and it's an inspiring sort of personal story about recording and listening, some insight or awareness that was really helpful to someone. And so that will change out every week. And there's also a place on that opening, the homepage, where we have a featured inspiration, which is just a short little tip about recording and listening, something really simple someone can try. So those things will switch out quite a bit, so we encourage people to keep coming back for those. Mm-hmm. And then there's the About section, the Rookie Corner, and the All-Stars. And we try to keep it pretty simple so that it's easy to navigate around the site. But underneath those, you'll see all kinds of articles. So there's articles about if you've already got a practice, but maybe it's kind of lagging or it needs a little bit of oomph. We have some articles on if you're just starting, how conditioning might try to talk you out of it, and some great tips for not letting that happen. We've got some articles on the equipment and technology end of it, because that can be a real stumbling block too, no matter where you are in the practice. And that even includes some tutorials, video tutorials on how to, you know, if you're someone who wants to upload to iTunes and create playlists, things like that.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Yeah. We also have a lot of places that we're encouraging people to submit. We want it to be, you know, a place where people, you know, we've got so many amazing Sangha members who are, you know, having all of their own insights around recording and listening and ideas and practices. And so people will see sprinkled throughout the site quite a few places where we say, you know, do you have an idea, you know, submit it here, or do you, you know, do you want to submit a blog post here? You know, this is where to do that.
Which I think was one of the big, if I remember, big inspirations for doing the site is that, you know, in all different forums, on the radio show and in email classes and in guidance days and at-home workshops, even on retreats, you know, we hear over and over and over people talk about these amazing things that are happening for them in recording and listening, and there's always this sense of, gosh, wouldn't it be great if there was some way that the whole Sangha had access to this information instead of just the one person on the other end of the phone or the group of people or the small group of people at the monastery who are hearing this stuff.
That is exactly it. Yeah, and so you'll see, like, so there's one article where we have sort of what we're calling the top 25 recording and listening ideas from Sangha that were submitted by Sangha at various times in email classes and whatnot. And that will just keep growing. You know, we're hoping to, like, you know, have the next 25 and the next 25
yeah,
and the next
exactly.
25.
Yeah.
And so those will always be there captured. You know, so now there is a place that we can capture that and have access to it all the time. And boy, I can tell you, I was testing out some of them, you know, just last week. I was like, oh, I've never done that, you know. Like one of them, someone suggested laughter, just like recording, you know, themselves laughing or other people laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried that just recently, and it was so much fun.
And then you know what's going to happen, which always happens with recording and listening, which is that, so you record that, and then you listen back to it, and it's going to make you laugh so much. And then you're going to record that, and then that's going to make you laugh so much. Isn't that the way with recording and listening? So you make, this is my experience, I make a recording, and I mean, my gosh, how many thousands of them do we have at this point, right? So then
right.
I'm listening back to whatever, you know, maybe 2 years ago, and I'm seeing all of this stuff, and I'm stopping every 15 seconds because I'm like, oh, my gosh, I make this whole other thing, and I make this whole other recording about that. And that
yes, I know. I just love that, too, especially when, you know, when we're listening to them sort of randomly,
yeah.
And it's just like, so
yeah.
It's like, what? Who said that? You know,
yeah.
Who's that smart person?
Yeah. I'm hopefully there's a section on there, too. I guess you could put it anywhere, but that, you know, listening ideas, too. One of my favorites is, I call it seaweed, where I put all the thousands of recordings in one place and just put it on shuffle, and anything can pop up. And it's uncanny how just the one that's so perfect always pops up.
Oh, I love, what did you call it?
Seaweed. Because I don't know why, I just always have this image of it of like that. You know how seaweed, well, those big, big pieces are anchored so nicely in the ocean, but at the same time, they're completely fluid.
Oh, I love that.
So it's like, this practice of like letting life choose the one, and I just flow with it.
I love it. And, you know, so this is exactly the sort of thing. We don't actually yet have an article on listening, and that's the perfect, like, that would be an awesome thing for someone, hint, hint, you know, to write in and suggest, you know, either, you know, hey, I'd really love to write this, or hey, yeah. You know, someone write this. But either, we're really open to either.
Oh, well, that's fun, because, yeah, there are I've heard a ton of people at the monastery talking about listening techniques, so, yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah, you might be just the person.
Perhaps. All right, are we ready for the URL, or was there? Do we have a few more details before we get there?
Just a couple other things just to tell people is it's like, you know, they people might run across, you know, it's brand new. We've done our best. I think we've looked at it about 150 times, but you know, there might be a few bumps or, you know, things along the way. So
sure.
People do run into those. You know, we welcome if people, you know, if there are suggestions that people have about how to make it more user-friendly. I just wanted to make sure we put that out there.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's lots of, you know, there's some audio on the site and a little bit of video, and we hope to increase those. And that would be the other thing, too, if people hear, like if you're listening to Open Air or other radio shows and you hear some really great recording and listening clips, we'd love to hear about those.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so if someone's listening to an archive and it's like, gosh, this is a golden resource for recording and listening, that they could submit that as a podcast.
Exactly, because we're starting a whole sort of audio, you know, a place where we're keeping some of those audio clips, because that's another fun way to connect with it.
Yeah. You know, it really is fun, Sherry, as you're saying it, that because just this last Saturday when we had the at-home workshop, there was a woman who was in the pod that I was participating with who was saying, I think I asked her something like, you know, have you recorded about that? And she said, well, you know, I'm brand new to that practice. I'm not really sure. And we just touched briefly on it, and she said, oh my goodness, I could really see how that would be helpful. And I told her about this resource, and it was so great to have somewhere to point people. And so
I know.
It's just so beautiful that now all of this, these years and years and years of this practice now have a place to land where folks who are coming to it for the first time have a place to really kind of bring themselves up to speed.
I know. I'm just really excited to see how it continues to just grow and expand and other ways that we can make it more fun and interactive. And just it's a great, great new resource.
You know, the only other thing that occurs to me as we're talking is you're alluding, obviously you've put a ton of work into this, and you're alluding to a whole team of people who have submitted things and, you know, helped work on the site and all that. And after our conversation last week about, you know, other new practice opportunities, it just occurs to me what a win-win it is, because this resource is going to be so great for all of Sangha. And I project that working on it, putting it together, is such a benefit to the practice of those who are doing that process.
Absolutely. And, you know, along with that it's not just those of us who sort of have been working on it or who have already contributed, but that, again, it's really hopefully open, you know, so that it's another way for people to participate, you know,
that's
to
so
not
strange.
Just use the resources, but you know, it's about what people want to offer and suggest.
So the launch truly is a launch. It's like you're setting this new little boat in the Sangha, and it's ours.
Yeah!
It belongs to Sangha.
Should we give the URL so people
Let's
can go?
Let's give the URL.
But maybe they should still wait till after the show, though.
Yeah, that's true, but we still wait.
Okay, so it's pretty easy. It's recordingandlistening.org.
Recordingandlistening.org.
So it's all spelled out, www.recordingandlistening.org.
Great.
And every word in there is spelled out.
Okay, excellent. Sherry, thank you so much for doing this, and thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. It's exciting.
It's really exciting. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Take care. Good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hey, Michael. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Did you visit the new website?
No, I'm practicing restraint and religious
observances. Restraint and religious observances. Good man.
Yes. I'm kind of busy with something else right now.
Yeah.
So.
So we hear a big dead space on the radio show, and we know what has happened. You have succumbed to temptation.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I did get to see it, of course, as part of the previewing process, and I'm really happy about it. I'm really excited. So I hope you know, it's true. It's our new little baby boat launched out there into the Dharma stream, and so hopefully people will love it and use it and enjoy it and care for it and all of those kinds of things.
Yes, Yes, it sounds really wonderful. And, you know, with the technology and the internet today, it's just such a blessing that anyone anywhere in the world can tap into that.
Yeah, and have that support and participate, as Sherry was saying.
Yeah.
You know, and participate. So I want to tell you just a quick story because I was so inspired by the conversation that Sherry and Jen were having. I was talking to my daughter, actually, this last weekend, and she's a mental health professional. And we were talking about recording and listening. And she was telling me about somebody, you know, an anonymous client with OCD. And what we were talking about was the implications for for recording and listening with somebody with a condition like OCD. So with OCD, of course, what happens to you is you leave the house and then the voices start. You know, did you lock the door? Did you, you know, those things?
Yes.
And it can be debilitating. I mean, a person literally becomes paralyzed with an inability to leave where they are. So with recording and listening, you know, I say, you know, it's Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, and I am turning off the stove. The stove is off. The iron is off. The back door is locked. The side door is locked. The windows are closed. And now I'm locking the front door behind me. And then I go get in my car. And when the voices start in, I hit play.
Wow.
And I have proof positive that all of that stuff happened. So I think there are just going to be possibilities for this that we cannot even imagine now.
That is brilliant.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, we're looking, talk about participation and contribution, and there's one woman in the Sangha who is a mental health care professional and wants to do this, take this to children, you know, working with children with this. And I've talked, of course, to parents about using it with their children, and counselors in school, you know, I always suggest, you know, do you know a way that you could introduce this with every walk of life? If there's somebody who works with a population or is connected with a population and can see how this could be helpful, then, you know, to take it into that population, begin to introduce it and see if we can start that revolution.
Yes.
Because it worked. It works. It makes life easier, and it brings happiness and ease, and anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. Good thing.
Yeah. Cheap, easy, endless benefits.
Precisely. Yeah. And how many things are there like that in this world?
Exciting. So I'm going to wait until 6:01 to go to the new website.
All right. Very
Just
good.
Be
Very
clear.
Good. All right. Do you have some announcements?
I do. Registration is now open for our next email class, Exploring Nutrition and Fitness.
Yes.
This is part of our year-long retreat, and you can sign up a la carte for this great support.
So if people are in the year-long retreat, they're automatically in it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then everybody else who wants to can join us. There's a lot of good stuff happening with nutrition and fitness already this year, and this email class is going to be a fabulous way to join in.
Yes, and the workshop on Saturday was fabulous also.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it was. It was very, very good. I mean, we always say this, but we only say it because it's always true.
Yes. And spots in the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat are filling quickly. Come to the monastery for this foundational experience in June or July.
Okay, so what are the dates? There's
June
one
and
open
July.
In June and July?
Yes.
Oh, good. Do you know the dates?
Let's see.
They didn't give you the dates.
No, but they'll be here in just 2 seconds. Hold on 1 second here. Okay, I have them. June 14th through the 21st.
Right.
And July 5th through 12th.
Marvelous. Marvelous. Okay.
And also coming up, registration is also open for a brand new retreat, Exploring Intimacy and Relationships. And that is June 25th through 29th.
Hmm. All right. Also at the monastery.
Also at the monastery. And this retreat explores taking our well-being out of the hands of chance and whim to rediscover unconditional love and acceptance.
Always time for that.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on all our events. Our call-in number today is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. And then you'd enter your PIN followed by pound. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. And here we go.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Jim and Charlotte.
Hey, Jim.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good, good.
Good.
What's going on?
Yeah, things have been going exceptionally well. I've been kind of, I got so much out of the recording and listening at home retreat that was like on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so beneficial to kind of learn a lot of the nuts and bolts. And another great thing about that workshop was almost like no one was teaching us. It was just go record and listen about this or how you would like to set up a recording with a mentor in the morning and things like that. It was really nice, and it's really established like a really good routine. So I want to thank everyone for that.
Mm-hmm. Jim, are you saying that one of the things that you enjoyed about it was kind of being able to find your own way with it?
Yeah. You know, it was like, oh, wow, I learned a lot about recording and listening. And then I was like, after it was over, I was like, I'm having trouble articulating it now, but I just remember distinctly thinking like, wait a minute, I wasn't really, was taught a lot for sure about recording and listening, but a lot of it kind of came from just the mentor and like that,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you do the exercise, you have your experience, and the whole thing grows from there.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of, again, Jen and Sherry were alluding to it, you know, you're listening along and you hear something and then there's an awareness that comes with it. You think, oh, I want to record that. And then you record that, and then you're listening to something, and then you record that. And it's just this whole... I don't know. It's interesting. It's like a whole body of awareness work that's exclusively yours, even though the processes are universal. The how it's developed, what you're talking about, it's uniquely you. It's a very special, intimate kind of a practice.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this morning I was it's so nice that you said that, because I was thinking this morning it's so wonderful to take back the word you and to use it in recording and listening. There's a word that a lot of sort of progressive departments and universities like to use that kind of means like reclaim. I don't remember the exact word. But, you know, how, in my experience, and I'm sure others share, egocentric karmic conditioning, you know, uses that word you in such
yes.
a, and I'm able to reclaim the word. Yeah, and just say, Jim, you are doing so great. And then I listen to the recording the next morning, and it's just a wonderful experience to take that word back. And
yes. Oh, God, Jim, I've never heard anybody make that point. And that is an essential point for all of us to get. Because you're right. You has been, our relationship with ourselves was taken away from us by those hateful, punishing, critical, judgmental voices of karmic conditioning.
Yeah.
Now we get to have it back with the mentor.
Yeah.
That's
another thing that I just want to say real quick, just a quick plug that I've really been getting a lot, I or life has really been getting a lot of traction out of lately is I sort of discovered your blog posts and writings, and I read those, and they've really just had that awareness, that one awareness that all awarenesses are sort of just bringing me into the moment, and every kind of feeling of anxiety or not enough completely goes away. And one in particular that I've been getting a lot of traction out of is I just kind of use the mantra, remind myself of be inside the infinite container. I'll just say that to myself after you wrote about dualism. And in my mind, you know, whenever I would hear dualism, egocentric would kind of want to figure it out. Well, if there's, if there's black and white, or, you know, what is it if it's not dualistic? And you very well wrote about how, or eloquently wrote about how that's just egocentric karmic conditioning wanting to figure it out, and then kind of explained, imagine a container, even though egocentric karmic conditioning is going to fight you, that's infinite, that has no edges, and that you're inside of the container. I guess it's a lot like being a cell of the Buddha. And And I read that, and it just really helped me a lot. And so whenever I get, caught up in the voices, I can just do that. And then I just completely feel inside. I don't know, just like a cell of the body of the Buddha. I was actually, I was thinking like, well, if I'm a cell and I love me and all these other cells love me, that means the car loves me and that person loves me and I love, it was just, and then there's no problems.
Right. How can you not be happy under those circumstances?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking at that this morning in meditation, actually. The form that it came in, and, well, I'll just say it because it's exactly what you're saying, but it's very different language. Experiencing life living without content. So everything in that infinite container is life living. We have the ability to say, well, that's a that, and that's a that, and he's a, and she's a, and they are, and to break things down and discriminate one thing from the other. But it's all, if we can picture it all in that infinite container, then to have an experience of just the life living without needing to differentiate, without needing to distinguish one thing from another, is an experience of bliss. Which to me is what you're saying. It just takes you right back to that, oh, yes, fine, no problems. Yes, thank you.
Well,
when
I'm chattering in my head or when the voices are going, then I'm not inside, even though you can't ever get outside of the infinite container. I'm not perceiving myself to be inside the infinite container, and there's the whole world out there and I'm missing it. And so when I tell myself be inside, it's almost kind of this confirmation or reassurance that you are inside, you're part of the infinite container. And then I don't matter so much because I'm a part of it all. And
yeah.
It's nice. It just brings me back.
Yes.
And no matter what happens, you know, I could go bankrupt tomorrow or something like that, but still inside the infinite container, everything's still okay. You know,
yes.
Always be inside the infinite container. So
yes.
That's been... go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to add to that that it's technically better than that because as the inside of the infinite container, you are the inside of the infinite container. It is you. It is all of you. And so everything in that infinite container is you, is actually yours as it is for everyone.
Well, I'll have to play with that one for sure. I will say one thing that I kind of picked up from a previous post that kind of set it up and made it work, that awareness of the inside container is just bold, all caps, underlined, don't listen to the voices. It just, it's just in that kind of like, stop it. What's that? You made a reference to, I forget the comedian's name.
Bob Newhart. Stop it.
Doing a skit and just say, stop it. And the voices want to make it more complicated of, it's just so hard. And the voices come in, but I'm just like, oh yeah, that's chatter. I mean, I made a bold underline, don't listen to the voices, stop it. And so when I hear it and it's just, I'm sucked in and I'm not paying attention to the world, and it's just, nope, not doing that. And that made it possible to receive that teaching about the infinite container and just be amazed by it.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing about it is, of course, again, the karmic conditioning would say, well, that's great. You could do that for a split second, then you're out again. But that's all right. All we're doing is just stringing those split seconds together until they become more real than the illusion of being outside the infinite container. And then we're in business.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Now, I was just going to say practice used to be so frustrating, but since I've been doing it for a couple years, I've noticed that, I am getting like a little bit better. Like those strings are getting a little bit longer and a little bit longer, and it makes it more real. So it's just encouraging that way.
Yes, and I love to hear that because it's true. In the beginning, the voices get a lot of mileage out of, oh, you're not getting this, you're never going to get this. And to have somebody say, I've been practicing for 2 years, and then to have that experience of, I get it, this right. 2 years is nothing, right, in the scheme of things. So
right.
Anybody who is listening to discouraging voices, you know, just hang on. Just keep doing it. Keep showing up. And in a surprisingly short time, poof, it's coming together.
Well,
that's great.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry for going over my time, but thank you.
Oh, yeah. It was a pleasure. I loved it, and I contributed, so it's all good. Thanks,
okay,
Jim.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jim. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, that's Bob Newhart, isn't it? With the stop it routine.
Yeah, stop it. And you know, if people that we hate to give away, trade secrets, but it is a YouTube video. So, yeah, we're seeing.
Yes, wonderful. And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hi, Sherry, and hi, Michael. This is Justin calling from Toronto.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Justin. How are you?
Good. I didn't think I was going to get on tonight. This is a good thing.
Yeah, well, it's great to hear your voice. What's going on?
Yeah, I wasn't really prepared. I want to talk about a process that I've been looking at over the past couple of months.
Uh-huh.
And this has just been around taking care of myself better. And
mm-hmm.
so it's been trying to get to bed or trying to get, you know, kind of more than 5 or 6 hours of sleep every night. I know that this is an issue for a lot of people because I've heard it come up a number of times.
A lot of bad stuff happens to people because they don't get enough sleep. And so, of course, karmic conditioning wants us to believe that if you're the right person, you can get by on 4 or 5 hours of sleep. You know, all the superheroes do. And we pay a heck of a price for believing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I know that in the past, what I've found that particularly around sleep is, you know, I go through maybe weeks or, you know, a couple of days, stretches at a time where I could keep that discipline of being able to do that. And then would always be down, and then something urgent would come up, and then I'd need to, you know, stay up late or, you know, or get distracted and not being able to see it. But I guess this time around, it's been a little different. I've been kind of pacing myself, and what's been interesting for me is just to see the process of how I fall off or kind of, you know, get off track. And it's more just, and maybe this is not just around sleep, but just more about urgency and how, you know, I can get talked into doing things that are not necessarily, you know, not in my best interest. And the funny thing, what I've recognized is, you know, if the longer I can stay on track, the easier it becomes, because particularly when you get tired, so later in the evening or even, you know, a couple of days at a stretch where I haven't been sleeping well is, you know, where I'm most vulnerable as well. So it's been interesting to see that, that process this time around.
And, Justin, it sounds like you're keeping pretty good notes on all of this. Is that true?
Unfortunately not. I've recorded once or twice about it, recorded and listened about it. We'll come back to you. No, I have not been keeping physical notes.
Okay. Because one of the things I was talking with people at the monastery about last week was a practice that I do with something like that. And so it is true. I'm in that club that likes to listen to just random recordings from whenever. But if I'm working on something, which I pretty much always am, such as I want to get to bed at a regular time, or I want to get to bed in a way that enables me to get the sleep that I need, then I'm going to record about that every day. And I'm going to listen to the recordings about that every day. So if I, you know, maybe I'm going to make a commitment that for the next month, I'm going to see how I get talked out of getting enough sleep. You know, that's my commitment, because the way you were looking at that is absolutely so. I don't make a commitment to go to bed at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock every night, because that's just, you know, that's just a challenge that karmic conditioning can't let us be successful at. But I'm going to see how I'm kept from doing what I want to do. And I really like that phrasing, because that's what's going on. I'm the one who wants to get more sleep. I want to go to bed at a reasonable time. I'm not being allowed to do that. So I am being controlled by forces other than me, and I like to take steps whenever I can to be in charge of my own life. So I'm going to make those recordings. This is what I'm committing to. This is what happened. This is what I heard. When I didn't get enough sleep, this is what the voices had to say. This is how the day, then I'm going along, and now I'm 4 or 5 days into it, and I'm listening to all of those. And then I continue to record, and maybe I go back every day 4 or 5 recordings so I stay current with what's going on with me, and I'm gaining more and more clarity all the time. So I realize that it's urgency. Urgency is the thing. So now I'm watching urgency, and I'm recording about how that gets introduced and what I believe and how I get talked into and that sort of thing. And eventually, at least in my experience, it's an incredible tool for untying a karmic knot.
Yes, and thank you. This definitely does give me more of the room to be a little bit more.
Jesse, can you say that again? I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you.
Sorry, listening to what you've just said really gives me kind of makes me recommit. The one thing I do want to say is the one recording that kind of sticks in my mind for this was the one morning I got up and I just really felt just, you know, dog tired, and I made that made the recording in that state. And The weird thing is, listening back to that, that probably had more impact than, you know, some of the other ones where, you know, I'm just talking about it in a very dispassionate or you know, kind of a disinterested perspective. And, and I could just, you know, hearing that person that really is, you know, being abused, you know, trying to drag myself out of bed, you know, hearing that voice really had a lot of impact for me, and then kind of been a big motivator for change, you know, to keep the change going, a good change going.
Yes, that is such an important point, because what you were able to do is be disidentified enough that you can really see what that guy is going through, what's being done to him. Now you have a clear picture of who you're going to save, right? And so now you work with him. In that sense, you've actually moved out of the person who it's happening to and into a mentor role with him, right? So you can be in that step back place and watch when he's getting talked into doing something that's not good for him. And you can be supportive of him as he makes different changes, choices.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much, Erin. Good talking to you, and it's good to participate. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, great. Let us know, okay? Because we're, you know, we're collecting data.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Justin. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Justin. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaches program now, and then we'll be back.
All right.
The practice theme for this year is upping your game. We are all spiritual athletes in the game of life, and we can train to participate joyfully in the spirit of play. Yes, we are up against a worthy opponent, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. But we can up our chances of success by getting a personal trainer, a Zen awareness coach. The awareness coaches are guided by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching around any number of life issues or awareness practice in general. Coaching places a special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and from old timers that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. Since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to practice, getting a coach assists us to support ourselves while supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit sanghamarket.com, go to the Services section, click on the Little Monk, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers, Sherry.
Hey.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Eleanor in Athens, Georgia.
Well, hello, Eleanor. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited. Usually I'm driving on my commute on Tuesday nights, and I'm not tonight, so it's a really different experience when you call in when you're just listening to the show. But I'm thankful for both situations.
Well, thank you. Thank you for when you're able calling in and talking, because, you know, as we point out often, it takes everybody to do something like this, and so we really appreciate hearing from as many people as we can. And
I know.
With you.
Yes, I am due. It's my turn. I've certainly listened to plenty of archives, and so everything is so exciting right now. I don't really know where to start. I'll say for me, I'm one of those where practice has just gotten greater and greater, and the times where I'm practicing are just running together in a much better way, I don't know how to say it. Let's see.
Uh-huh.
My mind's
going around
in circles on what I want to say. Sorry.
Let me try this. For many of us, when we start out in practice, we kind of practice when we get desperate enough that even ego has given up on us. And then we start getting more comfortable with practice and we start seeing the benefits. And so those places get a little closer together. And then at a certain point, we get to that tipping point, and now practice is something we do because we enjoy it, because we like it, because we know it makes our lives better, makes us happier, makes us better people to be on the planet, and like that. And then there may be little gaps in our practice, but they're unintentional gaps, and we're really glad to get back to a sincere, solid practice as quickly as we can. Does that kind of say it?
That's exactly right. And I heard an archive from a few years ago where you described that, and there was this analogy to rolling down the hill, I think, or something. And that's exactly what it was exactly what I've done for a lot of years now, is practice really, really hard. You know, you're suffering, so I practice really, really hard. I get back, life is okay, and then practice dies away. Then I crash down again and practice really, really hard, and I finally have experienced what it's like to keep practicing at that point where I'm feeling good about life, and it is quite acceptable.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess we were talking about it earlier on this show, yes, because the email class is coming up and the at-home retreat that we just had, the focus on physical well-being that is a big part of this year. And I know, because I've known you for a while, you know that place really well with physical fitness and how sad it is for the people who work at their physical fitness for a while, and then they get to the place where they feel pretty good, and then it all just goes downhill until they can't stand to be in their own body, and they have to build all that back up again and get to that place where being fit actually feels good. Feels better than sitting in a chair, and then that whole thing starts over again. And after we do that a few times, we know, I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to feel weak and out of breath and all of those kinds of things. So I'm just going to keep up my fitness so that I never have to go to those places. So whether it's physical fitness, mental, emotional, or spiritual fitness, we want to get to a good, solid, strong place, and we want to keep it up.
Wow. That sounds good. I can certainly see that where I'm stronger in different parts of that than others. The physical part has always been easy for me, but the others, the other levels are the challenges.
Yeah, so, and yet it's the same process.
Exactly. Yeah, I can see that. Sure can. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I'm excited about the new recording and listening site. My practice in that has come to a new place in the last few months. I've started just listening to old recordings instead of just directed ones, and it's been huge. I think it's allowed me to disidentify easier because I hear that story that's more distant or that practice experience, and it's like, oh, wow, and a lot more respect and compassion comes up for that.
Mm-hmm. Kind of what Justin was saying. You can step back enough to get a sense of who that person is when we are not just taking ownership of the person. Right? There's an actual human being there having a life experience that I, on too many occasions, am insensitive to.
Yes, that's my experience, right? And that someone's being really not nice to her, and not understanding, and somehow just to find that space to see how incredibly hard that human is working, and to find that compassion there is what happens.
To make
the difference.
Yeah,
because I can figure out what condition's doing all day long, and I should do this, and I'm trapped there. That's right. Oh yeah, and that's all helpful. But until that step back happens, where I can find that place of compassion, then it's I'm not really there.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, it's so interesting to watch because with external people that we love, it's so easy for us to see them in their well, that they're dear and good and that they're trying hard and that they struggle with things and it's not always easy and we want to understand and we want to help and we want to support. And then we turn ourselves over to this drill sergeant taskmaster who, you know, never has a kind word to say. And it's so helpful, as you say, to step back and get that look at ourselves as that good, sweet, dear person who's working hard and trying hard and doing the best she or he can do. And then we want to support that person. We're really motivated to be kind.
Yeah, I had a big experience of that recently, and it was just powerful to see that and see how blind, how easily it is not to see that.
Yes. And in fact, we're heavily conditioned to believe that we shouldn't be kind to ourselves, that compassion for ourselves leads to indulgence and selfishness and all of these terrible things that we're not supposed to be. And to finally get to the place of realizing all of that is exactly the opposite of what's true.
Mm-hmm. But it's realizing it and keeping on seeing it takes a lot of practice. And maybe this is a good time to do more and more recording of gratitudes or thankfulnesses and recognizing the beauty of the one who is me.
The one. Yes, exactly. Who's taking us through this beautiful life.
Right.
Yeah, and has waited a long time for our support and appreciation.
Hmm.
Yeah. And again, just to really prove to ourselves that kindness is what brings willingness and commitment and generosity and gratitude. Nobody does well under mistreatment.
Yes.
Well, thank you, my dear. I think I get to see you soon.
I'm very looking forward to it. It's coming up quickly, and I'm happy about that. And the dogwoods are getting ready for you because they're in bloom.
Oh, thank goodness.
They're prettier than I've seen them in years and years. So.
And they're going to peak for us, aren't they?
I think so.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, you guys have done your work, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eleanor.
Thank you, Michael. Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Eleanor. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Deanna.
Hi.
Hi, Deanna.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Well, boy, excited. And it's so funny. The person who calls into the show is not the person who ends up getting talked to on the show, which is so interesting to watch. The person who calls in at 4:45 is different. I wanted to talk about some content that I brought up about 6 months ago, and it was so helpful to talk to you about. It's with my dad and wanting a closer relationship and getting pretty clear that he doesn't, and also with his wife really struggling with relationship with her. And the relationship between the three of us is just getting worse and worse and worse. And what I really noticed is that I have this subpersonality that I've named Relentlessly Hopeful. And she just always has a new idea for what's going to work, you know? Mm. Like if I send an email in the right way with the stars aligned, it will work.
Mm. And then she's just crushed.
And then she's crushed, But then the next morning she wakes up pooky again with a new idea. Oh. And she's really old. You know, I can remember her being there around my mom's depression. She just always has a new idea and always wants to try it out. And then none of it works, but she's relentlessly hopeful.
And is she the one who's crushed, or do we suspect there's somebody else who's actually crushed?
Mm.
Because if she's relentlessly hopeful, then that you know, aspects of the personality tend to have one deal. They're not multifaceted at all. Mm-hmm. And so it's very possible that that's just what she does. That's who she is. And then there's somebody. So the way, I know you know this, but I'm going to say it for anybody who doesn't know it, okay? So the aspect of the personality has a need, comes out. And so, you know, I have a need to shop. And so that personality in me who loves to shop, shops. And then that need is met, and that personality goes away. And who comes in right behind her is the one who's concerned about money. How are we going to pay for all this, right? So that's just a little possibility of how they can work together to create a lot of unhappiness for a human being.
Yeah, because somebody's definitely just getting, you know, crushed, as you say, just disappointed over and over again. And it's all getting worse and exponentially worse despite every, you know, like last week, you know, I sent flowers and then I was punished for not calling. It's that kind of thing, you know.
You mean you got messages from external people?
Yes, yeah. My dad's wife's adult son was in the hospital, and she and I haven't talked since a big argument. And so I sent a card, but I felt so bad for her going through this that I sent a card. And then a couple of days later, my dad said, "You got to do something, like call. You got to do something real here." So I sent flowers, and then an email. And then my dad wrote and said, "You got to call." And anyway, so whatever I do isn't enough or isn't the right thing.
Okay, so here's what strikes me about this, and just see if it resonates at all. That letting these aspects of you interact with those people is really not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just from what you've described, these are not good people for children to be around.
No.
Yeah?
No,
and so, yeah. And so that's just kind of the line of demarcation, if you will, right? They can interact with you, and that's fine, and really need to have their needs met by you. Yeah? Because you're the only one who can. You're the only one who wants to. Now, relentlessly hopeful, again, this is that kind of place where we find out what's really going on there. Is this an aspect of the personality, or is this karmic conditioning just kind of running a scam to produce a lot of suffering in a very young person? So separating that out, you know, if you... relentlessly hopeful had constant schemes for you to be able to eat anything you wanted and not be unhealthy or gain weight, at what point would we say, you know what, this isn't working? You can tell me your ideas, but we're not going to do them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And I'll celebrate your creativity, and we'll talk it all over, but we're not going to do it. Because it doesn't work, and it's really harmful to everybody, and it's painful. So there's no rejection for her wanting to come up with these ideas, but there is the parental line of, you know, but you don't get to act it out. And then you get to see who's underneath, who gets her hopes up and buys into this tale, and you know, and then gets crushed. And that's going to be up to you to take care of her, right? And it could be just being removed from that situation might be all she needs, right? So if you say to a little kid, and tomorrow we're going to go to the zoo and we're going to ride on rides and we're going to get popcorn and ice cream, and then the next day the little kid is all excited and you say, oh, no, actually we're not going to the zoo. And that's kind of child abuse, right? So to take that little child out of that situation and see what's going on there. And then you, grown woman, deal with these people in a way that is not so hurtful. Right? Because the grown woman would, I think, probably get to a place of, you just can't please some people. no matter what you do, it's just, it doesn't work. And so as adults, we can look at that and go, wow, okay, well, I'm willing to do this and that, and I'm not going to take it personally, and I'm not going to take it on, and I'm not going to believe that I can please them, because obviously I can't. But, I still want to engage with them and interact with them, so I'll do that, but I'm not going to get emotionally invested.
Right, so then it comes back to really acceptance, I think, about the sadness that I can't have the relationship I want. And I think when I hear you say emotionally invested, to try to protect myself out of out of getting really, really hurt.
Yeah. Because at a certain, we really do have to just sometimes get it that I'm not in control of this situation. I can't, somebody has a boss who just, no matter what, is never pleased. Well, as long as you don't get fired, you still keep getting paid, then, you just say, well, that's how it is. This is not a warm and fuzzy kind of a person. So there, that's what we have. So it's a professional relationship. We both just act in professional ways. Good. There it is. I'll get in my emotional needs, appreciation, and that sort of thing met somewhere else, like namely through myself.
Right. And then I guess one obvious thing is, it's one of those things. If I call, I say the wrong thing. If I don't call, then that's a problem. So kind of like, when does one say this all needs to stop?
The other thing, Deanna, is that could be the definition of their relationship. There are people who, as far as I can tell, like to have problems. They like to have drama. They like to have things be wrong. It's the person who, enjoys being sick. And after a while, you realize that they actually don't want you to help them feel better because they enjoy being sick.
Mm-hmm.
Or the person who's always got something going with the neighbors, you just realize, well, they don't actually want help dealing with anything because they like being in that space within themselves.
Yeah, I hear you, and it totally resonates, and it's also shocking. It's like, I think I'm faced with that, but it's like, why would you want that? Why would you always want life to be wrong?
Yes, there you go. And yet, it doesn't make sense to us, and yet we know that's we don't have to look very far, right? That the entire world is that. Right? This group of people doesn't like this group, it hates this group of people because of that, doesn't want that, thinks those people ought to be killed, thinks that those people ought to all be, it does seem to be a big part of human nature.
Yeah.
And it's what we work hard in awareness practice to go beyond. right? But that's our interest. It's not necessarily the interest of anybody else.
Right, right. And yeah, there's just a grown-upness to what you're saying that I feel I need to rise to, you know, a real kind of like, uh-huh, yep, absolutely. I might not understand it, but it's there.
Yes, and a spiritual grown-upness, right? Because it's, I like to think of it as channeling Gandhi, you know, where you can go in there and you can be the unconditionally loving place for people to act out whatever it is that they are acting out. Because you're not taking it personally. You realize they were that way before you got there, and they'll be that way after you leave, and it doesn't have anything to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be in relationship with these people, then accepting them the way they are tends to go a long way toward that goal.
Right, right. And probably some recording and listening around that acceptance that is the way they are and they don't want to change. Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with how they are, right? You don't choose it, and thank goodness we have the option not to, but we don't know what's going on with anybody else. We really don't. We don't know what somebody else is working out, what they're kind of moving through, what they're accepting, what they're embracing, what they're attempting to let go, what they're struggling. We just don't know.
So we just have to respect their struggles and just not try to fix, because
not contribute to them.
Yeah.
That's right, not contribute to their struggles. So I have a friend who... It took me the longest time to catch on to this, but what I would say something, and he would disagree. And then I would say something else, and he would disagree. And finally, after a while, I thought, I want to see how often I can get him to do that. And so I would say something, and he would disagree, and then I would say what he just said in his disagreement, and he would disagree with it. And I thought, well, this is just an interesting kind of relating, right? And I began, of course, at that point, to not take personally or seriously anything he was saying, because what he was just—I don't even know how or why he did it—but he would just always see the opposite of whatever was said, whatever was presented. So it's like not having any sort of fixed notion about anything, but just going to the other side of whatever was presented. And it got really interesting, and I could, you know, I could either say what I wanted to say and just hear the opposite of that, or I could play that game of, you know, then I'll just agree with what he says, just make him take the opposite position. But it, as long as I stayed present, it wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
It'd be annoying if I didn't.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then one, you know, wonders like, okay, how many friends like that does one want? You know.
Yeah.
But if you're not taking it personally, well, then I maybe a lot.
Yeah. He's a great guy. He's a great human being. I like him a lot. He's really interesting and fun and that sort of thing. And he does have that communication pattern more often than I would wish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, let us know, huh?
Yeah, I will. But not taking it personally seems like one of the biggest jobs in town.
Oh, always. Isn't it? Always. Yeah. In every situation. Yeah. Especially with ourselves.
Right. Absolutely.
All right.
Thank
you. You'll let us know.
I'll call in. Yeah, at this moment, I feel a lot more equanimity about it, but I know, you know, sometimes when I call, that equanimity is not there.
That's right. And we hit layer after layer after layer after layer, blessedly.
Well, that's mm-hmm. nice to hear, so that it's not like, oh, here's the same content 6 months later. You know,
We're on a spiral. It doesn't feel like it, but we're on a spiral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Okay. Thanks, Dana.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Deanna, and thanks for listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Wow, that was some amazing timing, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Amazing
wow,
timing.
Wow, I had no idea we were there. All right. Well, thank you, Michael.
And thank you. And I want to mention once again the new website address. And that is recordingandlistening.org.
Yeah, all written out.
All written out.
Aren't they clever people get that little name for us?
That's great. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go there.
And
right
I do
now.
Think if somebody forgets, I do think you can get there from the Living Compassion website. So in
oh,
case
great.
Somebody loses track or you know, that sort of thing, it's there for us.
Wonderful.
All right.
Wonderful.
Thank you, sir. Talk to you next week.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.